we give thanks in Jesus' name. Let's continue standing for scripture reading, taken from Mark chapter 8, verse 27 to 30, and chapter 14, verse 61 and 62. Jesus and his disciple went on to the villages around Caesarea and Philippi. On the way, he asked them, "Who do people say I am?" They replied, "Some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, and still others, one of the prophets." "But what about you?" he asked. "Who do you say I am?" Peter answered, "You are the Messiah." Jesus warned them not to tell anyone about him. Following on from Mark chapter 14, verse 61 and 62. But Jesus remained silent and gave no answer. Again, the high priest asked him, "Are you the Messiah, the Son of the Blessed One?" "I am, Jesus," said Jesus. "And you will see the Son of Man sitting at the right hand of the Mighty One and coming on the clouds of heaven." This is the word of God. Please be seated and let's welcome Reverend YC for today's message. Thank you.
Okay, good afternoon, church. Glad to be back. Today, we're going to talk about witnessing. But it all started with a question. How many of you know that a lot of the convenience that we enjoy today started off with a question? For example, today you can take flight to many places that you liked, to Europe, to China, to a transportation medium called aeroplane. It all started with a question. The Wright brother, one of the brother, one day looking in the sky and saw the bird flying. He was just wondering, why we can't fly like a bird? Why we have to be earthbound and not able to be skybound? And from there, he began to think how human also can fly. And through many, many experiments and very tenacious and persevere, ultimately the Wright brother invented the aeroplane. And today we all become the manufacturer of that invention. The same thing, a young man sitting below an apple tree, an apple dropped on his head, and he said, "Why is it that things always fall downward? What is that? Why is it so?" And begin to go research and study. We know Newton, Isaac Newton, right? And then through that, we have a lot of physical theory and principle that actually help and aid us in the development of our science and invention and many more. Today, in our lives, the same thing. Is there a question in your Christian life that shapes you and changes your life's history once and forever? Today, we are looking at this story about Jesus. Okay. So there's a question that once changed the course of history. And this is just in a conversation, a casual conversation, while they were traveling, Jesus with the 12 disciples, they were moving from town to town to preach the good news of the kingdom of God. And when they were at this town called Caesarea Philippi, and Jesus turned and asked them a question, "Who do you say I am?" What do people say that I am? You ever ask them, "What do people think of me?" After that, you ask the person, "What do you think of me?" Right? So this is the question. So we understand that this is not a trivial question, a question that you have standard answer, a question that, you just Google and you get your answer. But it is a life answer, the question that you need to answer with your life. And then even if you know it, do you dare to say it out loud in your life, in your testimony? Okay, so today we shall use the testimony, the confession of Peter and also Jesus as a contrast for us to learn. And may God help us that we could truly be a courageous witness for him, especially at these last days. So Peter's confession. First, Jesus gave them a warm-up question and say, "Who do people say I am?" Do you ever ask people about, what do people think? What do my cell group people think of me? You ask the person, What do the church think of me as a pastor? What do people think of me as a church elder? What do people think? After that, you know, and they give you very polite answer. They give you correct answer. They give you very safe answer. And say, oh, Jesus, some say you are like John the Baptist. Some say, wow, you perform miracle. You're just like the old day Elijah or perhaps one of the prophets. Very safe answer, right answer. But Jesus is more than that, you know. So Jesus turned and said to them and asked them a more personal question. Who do you say I am? And Peter answered, you are the Messiah. So you are the Christ, okay, in other translation. So realize that what is a confession? A confession is a public declaration of the specific belief that ones have. For example, we believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. None other religion believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God except Jesus Christ. And there's none other God beside our Lord God. None other. They have many, many gods, but no. Right? So that is our confession. So confession make up of three parts. First, you must know, knowing. The second part, you must believe. And the third part, you must declare. Okay, you want to remember this? You look at the Chinese word. Okay, I use this term, 认信. 不是很任性啊,任性. 第一,你要认识神. 第二,你要相信神. 第三,你要承认神. 两个认一个信, 就是 confession. Alright? Knowing, believing, and declaring. Okay, so now you realize that. Does Peter really know Jesus? Yeah, he knows Jesus somehow. He knows that he is the son of the carpenter. He knows he's someone special, more than the son of a carpenter, so that he's willing to leave his business, leave his household, and then he joined Jesus on the trip to preach the good news. That's how he knows Jesus. And he saw Jesus perform miracles. Right? So he knows Jesus is more than just ordinary man. Maybe something special, mysterious, maybe until the point at the town of Caesarea Philippi, suddenly it dawned upon him, you are the Christ. That was the declaration. That was the confession made by Peter. So, during that time, the word Messiah is very explosive. You know that Messiah means it is the promised anointed one by the God of the Jewish people. And what does this promise Messiah? It is now one but a king who will restore freedom, give them independence, so they don't have to be under the oppression of other country or other government like the Romans Empire. They don't have, they can be a free people again. Remind them of the days of old whereby their ancestors were in Egypt, how Moses was being sent to free them. So this Messiah is going to be sent again to save them out of this oppression. So that's quite explosive. It's very politically rich, okay, explosive in a sense. So let's look at the word Messiah, okay, in some what we quoted, what you have read just now is from NIV. Okay, I just want to give a little bit of a small little Bible study. So, if you look at Matthew 1:16, it says that, and Jacob and father of Joseph, the husband of Mary, of whom Jesus was born, who is called Christ. That's ESV, Christ. Okay, that's Christ. Right? In NIV, he says that the mother of Jesus, who is called the Messiah. So you realize that Christ, Messiah, in the English translation is interchangeable. Okay, why is it interchangeable? Let's look at it. In the Greek word, okay, New Testament are written in Greek and the Old Testament originally is written in Hebrew. Okay, so in the New Testament, Christos means the anointed one. Okay, but in Hebrew, in the Old Testament, there's no such, before the Greek come, it was Hebrew, right? So where does the Greek translation come in? Remember the Septuagint. Remember? Probably, okay, you won't remember. Okay, the 2-3 century before BCE, okay? So there are about 72 of the Jewish scholar who are translating the Hebrew text, the Old Testament, into the Greek. Because a lot of the people then don't know, they really lost their linguistic skill in Hebrew. So they are not a master. So they need to translate, make it more vernacular kind of language. You know that Greek is a lingua franca of the Roman Empire. So they make it vernacular so that people can get to know. So they translate it. So when they want to translate that word Messiah, that is the word Christos that they use. So Christos means Messiah. Okay, so one is in Greek, one is in Hebrew. So there's a Greek translation of the word Messiah. Okay? So, in other words, when Peter says, you are the Christ, what exactly in a complete sense it means? He said that Jesus, you are the anointed one, you are the promised anointed one of the God of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. You are the promised one, you are the anointed one that is promised by God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. This is what you mean. So it is very so explosive because you're saying that that God, that their God, is sending a Messiah, a promised one. Now he is here, just in front of me. You are the one. You are the deliverer for us. Right? So that's the meaning of Messiah. So confession. So you look at it that sometimes for our own, in this modern days, how do we confess ourselves? Often in some social circle, you have this kind of situation, right? Circumstances. Someone asks you, what did you do this weekend? You say, I went to church. They smile. Do you continue? Or you change the subject? Okay? Or someone share an article or say something in a WhatsApp group attacking Christianity. Do you respond? Or you just quietly scroll past? So what does it tell us? So Peter's confession reminds us that what's that? Faith is not just a private feeling. It's not what I feel for Jesus, or how Jesus loved me, how I feel for him. But it's a public declaration. You realize that Peter had brought to this place. Jesus confronted them in a way. Who do you say that I am? For 3 years you have been with me. Who do you say that I am? For 10 years you've been Christian. For 20 years you've been Christian. Who do you say that I am? How much is my weight in your life? This is basically what Jesus is asking them. So that is Peter's confession. How about Jesus' witness? You know that when you were being captured, okay, by the Jewish authority, the high priest, you know, demanded Jesus by asking, are you the Christ? Are you the Messiah? The Son of the Blessed One? Are you the Messiah? And what is Jesus? This is a trap question, you know that? This was a trap question because it's the high priest was asking. So the moment you say you are blasphemed. You know, it's a sin of blasphemy. So being blasphemous, and then the penalty for that is death. So Jesus know very well, if I say yes, means I'm going to die. Sometimes when you want to stand up for Christ, it costs you something. It costs Jesus' life just to acknowledge that he is the Messiah, the Son of God. Right? So, you see, so Jesus answer, say that I am. Well, this is again a very explosive term. Okay, Jesus, clear and unambiguous, no hesitation, no escape routes. Yes, I am. Other question they asked, he did not answer. But come to this question, Jesus opened a mouth and answered, say, I am. Now, why is this that this I am? Okay, again, English, you make it clearer, okay? Chinese, 我是, don't quite get it, okay? So, let me give you, you know, a second part of the Bible study, okay? Now, that word ego eimi, which is Greek word for I am, okay? Let's look at this. In Exodus 3:14, ESV says that God said to Moses, remember? Moses said that, no, if you send me to them, then they ask me who sent me, then how do I quote your name? Can you give me your name? Then God said to Moses, I am who I am. Okay? And he said, say this to the people of Israel, I am has sent me to you. Okay? That's ESV. Now, you know that this is in Greek Old Testament. So when the Septuagint, when the 72 scholar, they translate that particular term, I am who I am, into the Greek, what is the term that they use? And this is the term that they use, ego eimi. See that? So by saying that, you're saying that I am the Messiah, I'm Christ. So NIV immediately translates it, I'm the Messiah. ESV say, I am the Christ, the anointed one, which actually means the same thing. So this becomes something that very terrible. So when Jesus say, I am, what does it mean? Or Jesus said, 我是, what does it mean? It means that I am the ego in me. I am the one. I am who I am. So if I have to kind of paraphrase it. You know, the high priest will ask her, you know, are you the Christ, the Son of the Blessed One? I am who I am. Oh, it's like explosive. That's why now you understand why they want to put him to death. Now you understand that the hatred that comes from the Jewish leader, why they're so desperate that die, this guy must be, you know, out of this, you know, I must kill him, basically terminate this guy. And then realize that then it's not within the power of the Jewish Sanhedrin to give a death sentence. That's why they want to bring it all the up to the Roman Empire. If not, they can just cut somebody to kill him, finish, you know, that's it. But they cannot do it. So they want to do it through the power, the authority of the Roman Empire. So they brought it all the way to Pilate. Pilate can find nothing wrong, wash your hand in the gold basin and say, hey, not my problem. You want to crucify? Then what do they shout? I can release him. No, release for us Barnabas. We want Barnabas. Then what shall I do with this man? Crucify him, crucify him, crucify him. You can see now why is it so. Because of this word that Jesus said, Ego eimi, I am who I am. So the same night, just a few hours different, you can see two witnesses. One, Jesus, before the tribunal, facing death, and then declare clearly, I am. But Peter, on one hand, outside the same courtyard, not very far away, deny knowing Jesus three times. Now, this story is written not for us to condemn Jesus, not to condemn Peter. Oh, Peter, weak, very terrible. What it tells us is that the contrast, okay, is not to condemn, but to show us that courageous witness is what? Is saying yes under pressure. You think very easy to say yes under pressure? I just shared with the second service. I didn't say the first service, I shared the second service. In 2015, I led the first group of our church members to Israel. So it was a pilgrimage tour. So I was leading the group. So one day we were at out the Golden Dome, you know, the Jerusalem. You always see the picture, you know, the Eastern Wall, the Wailing Wall, the West Wall, and then you see the Golden Dome. So we were out there, and that is where the temple ground is. And that temple ground is being guarded, is under the care of the Muslim, the Islam. But they allowed the Jews to come to pray. So we were there visiting, and then we were very fully guarded, you know, very heavily guarded, with machine gun and everything, you know, the guards there. Then we were there, and then the tour guide was telling us, bring us to a place, and then we see that, you know, on the ground, it's like marble like that. Then you can see that as if that there was used to be a wall erected there. And then suddenly the wall being chopped off there, but you can see the line, like one whole line, like a piece of, you know, you can see the mark. So the Taoyu was telling us that this is the foundation of the old temple. Okay? This is the foundation of the old temple. The wall is gone, but you can still see the thing. So, okay, you guys have 10 minutes here, roam around, and then we will have to leave because they don't allow it to stay. Then, all of a sudden, I think that, wow, this is 难得的机会. So I gather all the group, hey, come, each one of us stand one side, one line. Then we begin to pray. But the tour guide already informed us, you are not allowed to pray because it's Muslim ground. This is governed by the Muslim. So we stand there. So as we pray very soft. The more we pray, very loud hand movement. Then we were pray. Suddenly, one guy with a machine gun came over shouting at us, are you praying? Like that, very loud. Suddenly I got shocked. Then my mind says, no! You know what I mean? I don't know him. No! But it's so obvious that we are praying, right? And he knows that we are praying. But at the moment, I said no. After that, I feel, wow, this is terrible, man. I begin to empathize with Peter more and more. Before that, you see, I mean, at the very moment, it's not, sometimes it's not easy. It's just at the moment, no. You worry that, no, what you say, yes. Then all of us, instead of continuing our journey, probably get locked up somewhere and then get questioned and this and that. Problem. So this high paid cost, so better say, I say no. So that really stings in me. Then each time I took a look back, I said, God, forgive me, a man of little faith. I said, yes, sometimes we do that, we falter. So what does it tell us? So silence often comes, why? Sometimes we don't want to speak up because it's costly. Maybe now you have not faced that costly. For me, that probably a very costly. If I say, yes, we were praying, and you jolly well that you're not supposed to pay, and you pray, you know what would happen? I don't know. Right? So faith certainly become costly, and you either deny or you keep silence. And most of us, if we're not in that situation, we just keep silence. Or the other thing, that why is it that we dare not speak out sometimes? Because we think that we are very confident in ourselves. Peter says that even if all will fall away, I will not. I will not fall away. And Anna, he's the first one to fall away. That deny Jesus thrice. And then it can be our spiritual unpreparedness. We're not prepared for it. Remember Jesus prayed and Peter sleeps. 3 times he came. Can't you keep awake with me? Keep watch with me for an hour? You can't. And then the fourth is social pressure and identity. We don't learn to be labored. Oh, holy man, come already. Hey, don't lunch with the holy man. Hey, this one not halal. Don't give to the holy man to eat. Then why you eat churro? Social pressure identity. In ordinary social settings, you may be very heroic on stage, you may be very heroic on certain big event. Wow, you will die for Jesus, like Peter said. But in the ordinary time of life, sometimes it's very difficult for us. It's the hardest situation whereby we can really hold fast and continue to acknowledge Jesus as our Lord. Right? So true faith can falter. I want all of us to understand, but not fail. All of us may have history of even denial. Even we don't say it out loud, but our life doesn't reflect that, we know. And our choices reflect that, we know. We are being rebellious in some way or another. You may falter, but if it's true faith, it not fail. And we know that Peter did not, his life did not end after the 3 times of denial. Okay, so you know about hiding place. Anybody read this story before by Corrie Ten Boom family? During the Second World War, during the Nazis period, so they persecuted the Jews, they killed millions of Jews, and then this particular family, a Dutch family, you know, who think that, wow, we should save these people of God, so they kind of quietly, secretly hide them inside their house, so they make a lot of secret compartment in their house to hide them, okay, but they know that while doing that, they are subjected to concentration camp. If they've been caught. So they were being caught. So the whole family was sent to concentration camp. The father, the sisters, and some of the members died in the concentration camp. He was quite fortunately being released. So he can tell the story. And he said this, there is no pit so deep that God's love is not deeper still. Do you believe that? There's no pit so deep that God's love is not deeper still. In other words, as I said, the courageous witness is often not a speech on stage, not even as I preach. But it is a quiet yes spoken under pressure. In your sometimes ordinary social setting, in your own life experience, a juncture of life that you need to make decision. And that's where you will say yes or you say no to Christ. So what's our calling today? Our calling is to be Christ's witness. So we thank God that Peter's story doesn't end at his denial. After Jesus' resurrection, Jesus looked for Peter in the Galilee, specifically looked for Jesus. Jesus looked for Peter and he asked Peter the 3 questions. Do you love me? Do you love me? Do you love me? As if that he's restoring, each time he asks Peter, he's restoring the 3 denials. Each of the denier that, I don't know him, I don't know him, I do not know him. But we realize that in Acts, it tells us that when the Holy Spirit came upon Peter, he's a changed man. The man that who used to fear of life, now he's able to stand boldly and declaring to the thousands by saying, this Jesus whom you crucify, God has raised from the dead. He dare. And then people put him in jail, you know, right? People put him in jail. Now he's not scared of death anymore. Because it was death once, I believe. So, this is Jesus. Does it mean that after my denial, you know, I quit to be a pastor, I quit to be... You can continue. True faith may falter, but it never fails. All of us have our past history. All of us have our gloom side, the dark side of us. But today we're still here worshiping God. Not perfect, but we know that we need God and His grace to sustain us. So those who have fallen can become the most courageous witnesses. You may have fallen somewhere or another. I may have fallen somewhere or another. But we can continue. If we return to God, we can be His most courageous witness. So I'm going to leave all of you with these three challenges and reflection. The first is to think about your Caesarea Philippi moment. In other words, you were among people. So who in your life that does not know Jesus yet? Is there an opportunity to tell them clearly who Jesus is to you? Who do you say that I am? You are the Christ. That's what Peter's answer. The next is, don't let fear silence you. Peter denied Jesus because fear. I say no because I'm fearful. Peter feared people and denied Jesus. But the one that we trust, remember, is stronger than death. He was raised from the dead. But death frightened us that we dare not face death. But Christ has overcome death. And the third one, I think all of us can respond to. Return to grace. Stand again. In other words, you have chosen silence in the past. You have avoided. You have denied. Today, Jesus still asks us, you and me, do you love me? You wonder why Jesus did not question Peter. Peter, what happened that night? You say you will die for me. You say if all have fallen away, you will not. But why do you deny me? Why? Did Jesus ask why? Jesus just asked him the same question three times. Do you love me? Do you love me? Do you love me? So what God wants us is not our perfection. God wants our heart. Do you have a heart for Jesus? Do you love me? Husband and wife love one another, but doesn't mean there's no quarrel. Doesn't mean there's no disagreement. Somebody asked Billy Graham. You know Billy Graham? The great evangelist. Mrs. Billy Graham. He said, have you ever, you know, have some quarrel or whatever with Mr. Billy Graham that you wish something bad happened to him? Then Mrs. Billy Graham say, no. But murder, yes. Talk of murdering the husband, you say. It's a very true confession, but doesn't mean that they don't love one another. Have you ever come with this kind of thought? Then suddenly the one that sleep next to you, you feel like you why not you sleep the other bed? Why not you move out? Why am I choose you? Wow, my but you tak stem. Now only I see clearly. Ayo, but 10 years has passed, 5 years has passed. Cannot lah. Christian cannot divorce or what? No, tau tia. Now how? Carry the cross. This is my cross. My why is my cross? No such thing. Okay. No. Don't fall into this kind of trap. Okay. So return to grace. Stand again. Doesn't mean the one denier will always. Yes, Peter acknowledged. It's written for all of us to read, generation after generation. Everybody know Peter denier. Have denied Jesus 3 times. But we also know that he has followed Jesus all the way the rest of his life. So you and me may be weak once upon a time, but today I pray that you will return because God loves us. He doesn't give up on Peter, neither will he give up on you, give up on me. Right? In front of people, let's do this. So there's two pictures. One picture of Peter say, I don't know him. But another picture of Jesus show that I am, even to the face of death. Both are facing death. One say, I don't know him to save my own skin. One is to save us, to save all of us. He say, I am. So who do you say that I am? If Jesus were to ask us today, so So this question awaits us daily, not just with our lips we should answer, but with our lives. So Jesus can be very brave and courageous when facing death, unwavering say, I am. Now he say, I am who I am. This is what he say. May we find grace and courage to our Lord that we can say courageously when we are faced with all these challenges as well. What would you say to them? You can tell them this. I know him. I trust in him. I follow him. He is my God and he is the Lord of my life. Will you say that to your friend? Well, what does Jesus mean to you? Who does Jesus mean to you? What does he mean to you? As a Christian, every day you go to Sunday, you've been going to church, I know you for young, you know you go to church. What's Christianity to you? What's Jesus to you? How will you answer that? If the opportunity arises, will you say, I don't know him? I just go there for fun? I just go there because I see my friend? Oh, church is a very fun place? I like the singing. I like the people there, all very kind. Free food and coffee. What will you say when you come to church? Because I come to worship the God who died for me. A time of witness, opportunity to testify for him. Will you do that? Can you invite the worship team forward? As we think and reflect upon this. Think about this question again. Who do you say I am in your life? At this particular point in your life. Does it worth you worshiping him? Does it worth for you to stand up for him? Does it worth for you to witness for him? For you, is it worth for you to make a decision according to his will and his value, counting the cost that you may pay? I used to work in a MNC, and we have a little Bible study group. I think I shared that before. And we have people coming from, the member come from the different business unit of the company. So one sister was from, is a finance manager of a company, of the, another business unit. So he came and one day he shared a prayer request. He said, this is a quarter end. My boss asked me to do some transaction that did not happen so that our revenue quarterly revenue can look good so that it's easy for him to answer to his big boss. But physical good is still in our warehouse. We have not shipped the part out. So technically, we cannot transact that. We all know that. Probably you all work in sales, you know this. I work in there for many years. I know they do this almost every quarter. And then this finance manager sister was very adamant. He said, I find it so difficult. I know it's not right. How to say to my boss? So at the end, he summoned the courage and said to the boss, he was not going to do that. The boss was very angry because that showed his performance is no good. And made her life difficult. And a few months later, she resigned. She resigned. And thank God that we heard from her again. 2-3 months later, she found another company, which we think is a better company. And she is able to work. Sometimes when we say yes to God, sometimes we say, you are the Christ. Sometimes we say, I am. It costs us something. Is Jesus worth that cost in your life? Let's sing this song together. And sing together.
Worthy of all the praise we could ever bring. Worthy of every breath we could ever breathe. We live for you. We live for you, Jesus. Jesus, the name above every other name. Jesus, the only one who could ever save. Worthy of every breath we could ever breathe, we live for you.
close our eyes as we reflect on this. Today's sermon. Are you fearful to be the witness for Christ? Fearful to be singled out, to be labeled? Fearful that you become the weird one, the odd one out, lose friendship? Does Jesus worth our loyalty and our allegiance? Or perhaps once you are very fervent for Christ and you begin to count the cost, it's quite costly to follow Jesus, and you begin to dial back on your witness, you dial back on your value in order for you to be more prosperous perhaps. Life will be on a more comfort footing. Don't have to be so extreme and radical. Just be a peaceful person. Don't speak things that is sensitive. Don't rub the other way around. You know that you have done that. And sometimes that you need to speak up, but you're fearful and you keep silent. Or you avoided all this issue. And today God says that, who do you say that I am? Am I worth your life? The price that you pay. Look at the cross. Christ given everything that he has for us. He has been risen from the death. He rises from the dead. Why are we fearful of death? Death has lost its power. Has there still have grip of power in you? Pray that today, by the power of God, God will break this fear and grant us the peace and the assurance in Him. So I want all of us to keep your eyes closed. And you think that you want to respond to God, that God says, yes, I want to be a better, a courageous witness for you. Help me, Lord. Or you tell God that, yes, in the past, I've been avoiding, I've been silenced, I dare not speak up, I dare not stand up. But today, Lord, you give me grace that I can stand and be your witness wherever you place me, at home, in a workplace, in school, in marketplace, in my social circle. I'm willing. God, help me. If this is who you are, I want you to raise your hand and you can just raise it and you can just put it down. Yes. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Yes. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we want to thank you. Thank you that at your most dangerous moment, oh Lord Jesus, you still declare who you are. Grant us the same courage to be your faithful witnesses in our family, in our workplaces and communities. When we fall and fail, Lord, restore us as you restore Peter, with grace and a renewed purpose. For this we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Yeah, we continue to sing.